Thankful this morning for the hope of the gospel. Thankful for the challenge of the Word of God. And I'm thankful today that we have a friend in Jesus that is very interested in helping us make it heaven, make it to heaven, and to help us in our trouble. I want to be a dependable servant of the Lord. I don't want to be a servant that the Lord looks upon with disappointment. But I want Him to be able to count on me as someone who's willing to follow His Word. We've been discussing the subject of being firmly planted in the Lord. We'll continue with that this morning. And this is part two. We started our series in the book of Ezra, and we're endeavoring to learn about and learn from the people of God, the Israelites, who after 70 years in captivity in Babylon, King Cyrus, the king of Persia, gave a proclamation that a temple would be built to the Lord God in heaven. Now, you don't see that very many times from kings that were not what you would call traditional kings that were kings of God. But the Lord, the scripture tells us that God stirred His heart, and He wanted a temple to be made to the God of heaven in Jerusalem. And so this was prophesied, as we discussed last Sunday. 70 years had passed since the children of Israel had been taken captive, since the temple had been destroyed. And so there were those that rose up in Babylon that had been in captivity, and many that had began to enjoy the prosperity of Babylon. And they were willing to go back to Jerusalem to rebuild the temple of the Lord. And we found in verse 3, in chapter 3, maybe we'll just read two verses as a reminder. Ezra chapter 3, verse 2 says, "Then stood up Jeshua the son of Jozadak and his brethren, the priests, and Zerubbabel the son of Shealtiel and his brethren, and builded the altar of the God of Israel to offer burnt offerings thereon, as it is written in the law of Moses, the man of God." And what last Sunday we looked at, we find that there were three things that were inferred in this scripture. They knew the law. They were willing to follow the law regardless of their circumstances, regardless of what they were going to face, and it involved sacrifice. Sacrifice that they were more than willing to do. All of these areas worthy of imitation for us. The scriptures in the Bible are not just to give us a historical record to read in our spare time, to find some kind of intellectual stimulation in, and then we go on our way with nothing there for us. But the Word of God is intended to be something for us to get a hold of that will help us understand who God is and what He wants for us in our life. And so there's much in these verses that we can get a hold of for ourselves. And so we want to get a hold of the fact that God wants us, number one, He wants us to know the Word of God. May God help us apply ourselves to know the Word of God. Number two, that we are be willing to follow the Word of God. That it would be an absolute relative to guidance in our lives. This is not like
buffet line that you get to pick and choose what looks best to you. But the Lord intends for His Word to be taken and wholly and completely in our lives. I was thinking about Ezekiel this morning. The Word of the Lord came to Ezekiel, and the Scriptures read that Ezekiel, the Lord told him to eat the scroll, the Word of God. Eat the whole thing. And he ate it down, and then he gave it back out. The Lord would like us to be able to know His Word, follow His Word, do whatever it takes to be able to internalize and take in ourselves the Word in a way that it can be lived out so that we can be a light to the world. We don't live just unto ourselves. And that's a key point. We'd like to sometimes. We'd like to say, don't look at me. Don't follow my example. I don't want to be responsible for anybody. You be responsible for yourself. I'll be responsible for me. But as we've been studying in Sunday school, we have a responsibility to those that come after us. And the Lord desires that we would be able to fill a place in His body that glorifies Him and that allows others to be able to look upon our lives and see Jesus Christ. And then thirdly, that we would be willing to sacrifice whatever it takes to be a disciple of God. Sacrifice and self-denial, those are things that run contrary to our flesh. We don't gravitate towards self-denial. Is there anybody here that just enjoys self-denial? Do we just get up in the morning and say, you know, I'm going to look for places where I can just sacrifice because it just makes me happier to do without? That is contrary to the flesh. And yet the Scriptures tell us, and we quoted this verse last Sunday, that if Jesus said, if any man will come unto me, he must deny himself and take up his cross, how often? One time? What does the Scripture say? Daily. Must take up his cross daily and follow me. And so there is sacrifice. There is a cross that we each have to bear in this life. If we want to be disciples of the Lord, and I was struck and inspired with the fact that the Lord is looking for us to accept self-denial, to embrace self-denial, to embrace sacrifice to the extent that it allows us to be disciples of Jesus Christ. That's what that verse said. If any man will come after me, meaning Jesus Christ, he must take up his cross, deny himself to what? Follow Jesus Christ. And there are times where we can get carried away and begin to be willing, sometimes with good motives, sometimes not, to sacrifice, to deny ourselves, but not in a way that helps us be the disciples that Jesus Christ is calling us to be. Sometimes we can try to fill a place in the body of Christ that Jesus Christ is not calling us to fill. And we sacrifice to do that. We're willing to deny ourselves. But it's not where the Lord has called us to be a disciple. I remember growing up at times, and I knew of those and have heard of those that were willing to give to other people, sacrifice what they had to give to other people. And in the meantime, it was to the detriment of their own children and their own wife. And in so doing, in so serving others, if you will, by giving to other people, they were neglecting the very ones that God had given in their care to take care of. And sometimes the mother of the household could hardly get enough money to buy. Seemed like it was like pulling teeth to get enough money to buy groceries. But it was not a hard thing to give money out to other people. But then to take care of the needs of their household. Yes, there may be sacrifice and giving to other people, but it was at the detriment of being a disciple of Jesus Christ, which involves filling the place that the Lord wants us to fill. May the Lord give us understanding in those things. We ended at the start of verse 3, and I'd like to pick up there. We probably won't get very far today. It said, "And they set the altar upon his bases, for fear was upon them because of the people of those countries. And they offered burnt offerings thereon unto the Lord, even burnt offerings morning and evening." So the Israelites, the children of God, they had enemies. They had pressure that was coming against what they were endeavoring to do, which was to rebuild the temple of God. But it also said that they regarded the Lord continually. In other words, they were offering sacrifices morning and night according to the word of the Lord. Because in verse 2, it told us that they were doing all as was written by Moses, which said was a man of God. And so while they were going about to rebuild the temple, to do the will of the Lord, they also did not neglect the word of the Lord as it dealt with the sacrifices that they were to give. And all the while, in the presence of those that were coming against them, to keep them from doing the will of the Lord. We too have enemies. We too this morning have pressure coming against us to take care of the temple that God has given into our care. And we have reason this morning to regard the Lord continually as they did. Who is the temple intended to be today? A temple made with hands? Who is the temple? Us. Know ye not that ye are the temple of God, and that His Spirit dwelleth in you? And we have pressure. We have influence, much pressure and influence that is coming against us today in our temple as we endeavor to have a temple that is acceptable in the eyes of the Lord. There is much influence in the world today that is coming against us. And if we are not very careful, we will also allow idolatry and rebellion to become part of our lives to the point that the Lord will have to leave us. That is the reason why the children of Israel were taken into captivity. They were taken into captivity because they allowed idolatry to come in among them. They began to rebel against the word of the Lord. They had the word of the Lord. It was available to them, but they made a decision to go a different way. And they allowed things to come in between their service to the one true God. And because of that, the Lord allowed them to be carried away. He removed His presence from them. And the temple was destroyed. And they were taken captive. I don't want to be destroyed today. I don't want to be overtaken because I make a choice to begin to follow something else besides the word of the Lord. This morning I'd like to turn to 1 Corinthians 3 and focus most of our time and attention there. We will come back to Ezra, but I'd like to pick up some scripture that backs up some of these thoughts and that we have quoted. I'd like to go ahead and read it. 1 Corinthians 3 and 16 says, "Know ye not that ye are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you. If any man defile the temple of God, him shall God destroy. For the temple of God is holy, which temple ye are. Let no man deceive himself. If any man among you seemeth to be wise in this world, let him become a fool that he may be wise. For the wisdom of this world is foolishness with God. For it is written, He taketh the wise
in their own craftiness. So we find Paul in the Scriptures here reminding us that we are the temple of God and that His Spirit dwells in us. And then he tells us that if we defile the temple of God, Him will God destroy. Well, what does it mean to defile the temple of God then? Because I don't want to be destroyed by God. I don't want to be a place where God at one time dwelt and then made the choice, had to make the decision that my temple needed to be destroyed. I don't want to defile the temple. And so I've been thinking about that a little bit. How can we defile the temple? And there's a lot that could be said about it. If we knowingly transgress the word of the Lord, when we have accepted God into our lives, and we have opened up our hearts to be the temple of the Holy Spirit, and the Lord comes in, and we make Him God of our lives. Lord, take my life. Let it be consecrated, Lord, to Thee. And we're repentant. And we confess our sins. And God in His mercy forgives us. And He comes in and washes us with His blood. And we ask His Holy Spirit, Lord, would You come into my life? Lord, would You help me? Would You teach me? Would You be a light unto my path? Lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Lord, I don't know which way to go unless You show me the way. And the Lord is willing to come in His mercy. And He comes into our hearts and our lives and He forgives us and sets our feet on higher ground and puts a new song in our heart. If we go from there and we get to the place where then the Lord shows us, here is the way of the Lord. Here is the way that you should take. Thus saith the word of the Lord. And we make a choice and we decide, that's not the way I want to go. I understand it. I see it. I read it in here. But that's not what I want to do. I just can't get myself to go that way. And then we willingly pivot away from the truth that has been revealed to our hearts and our minds. And we make a choice to go a different way when we know what the word of the Lord says. We will then defile the temple that God is in. And He can't be God of our temple anymore. Because He comes in and doesn't force Himself in. He comes in because of our choice. And then if we then make a choice that we're going to go our own way, the Lord then departs and we have defiled His temple. May God help us this morning to be obedient, to know the word of the Lord, to be able to be willing to follow the word of the Lord, and to be willing to sacrifice, Lord, whatever it takes. Whatever it means, Lord, that's the way that I want to go. Yes, there are places in our lives that once the Lord comes in, once His Spirit comes in, He begins to reveal things to us that are outside of the word of the Lord. And then the enemy likes to come in and say, see, you're not saved. You have a defiled temple. The Lord doesn't want any part of you. That's the enemy. But if we have a heart and a spirit, that when the word of the Lord and truth is made known to us, and we recognize that there is something in our lives that is not right, then the Lord gives us opportunity by His grace and by His mercy, that we then grow in grace and we say, Lord, please have mercy on me in this thing. Lord, this is unlike You in my life. Lord, I do not accept this in my life. I do not want this to be in my life. Lord, would You help me? Would You give me strength along the way that I can overcome this? Lord, I'm going to do battle against this thing in my life. Then the Lord will help us. And He'll give us strength. And He'll be there to shepherd us and be gentle with us and help us. But if we get to the place where we say,
Can't go there. Not going there. I want to go my way. Then we defile the temple of God and God will have to depart.
And I want to get just a little bit closer in the fear of the Lord this morning. We can also defile the temple of the Lord through spiritual laziness. Spiritual laziness. If I know where the word of the Lord is, if I know where the roadmap is, if I know where to go to understand what God wants for me in my life, and because of spiritual laziness, I choose not to avail myself of understanding the truth and thereby go astray, I'm not going to be able to stand before the Lord and say, but I didn't know, because I should have known. I remember a coworker one time, you've heard me say this before, he told me, he said, you know, I don't read the Bible like I should very much. Because he said, if I do, then I know I will then read things that I should do differently, and I don't want to be held accountable for it. So I don't read it. Do you think that's going to work? And I told him, I said, you're being held accountable for that already. You know it's there, but you're not giving yourself to it. And you see, that's the reason why we have to be so on guard in this life where there is so much to consume our time. There's so many, let me say it this way, non-sinful things that we can give our heart and our time to. And if we're not really careful, our plate's only so big. The last time I checked, we got 24 hours in a day, no more than that. And I normally have to sleep part of that. I'm not able to just go 24 hours a day. So good part of that time I'm sleeping. And there's other parts of that where we have responsibilities to work and to provide. And there's not just a lot of discretionary time. Time where you get to make the decision on, okay, what am I going to do with this available time? I can choose what I'm going to do with it. If we're not very careful with all of the options that we have in this world, we can squeeze the Lord right off of our plate. We can fail to give time to understand, Lord, what does your word say? Lord, would you talk to my heart? Would you speak to me? Lord, help me to meditate. Help me to get quiet before your throne, that I might be able to know the way that I should take. And if we don't do that, and we get carried away with all of our own interests, we can become spiritually lazy and thereby defile the temple. And there is something else that comes along with that. We can become deceived. Why do we become deceived? Because there is a spirit in the world that is pushing against us with its agenda. We are being exposed to those influences whether we want to be or not. You don't have to try to. You don't have to make time for those things. Even though a lot of times we do. We make time to expose ourselves to things that are of the world. I'm not saying they're all sinful. But the spirit of the world comes and washes over us whether we ask for it or not. And if we don't give ourselves to the word of the Lord, if we don't guard against spiritual laziness, then we can become deceived because we're listening to the wisdom of this world. And the scripture here said, let no man deceive himself. If any man among you seemeth to be wise in this world. In other words, you're wise in this world. You know the way of the world. Maybe you're in agreement with it. You're able to conduct your life in a way that's consistent with how those in the world would agree with. It said, if that's the case, let him become a fool that he may be wise. For the wisdom of this world is foolishness with God. The wisdom of this world is foolishness with God. The way that the world is going is so far below, beneath where God is. One scripture said that we're not fighting against flesh and blood, but against principalities,
and powers and rulers of darkness and wickedness in high places. Sixth chapter of Ephesians. Those influences are coming against us. And the 10th chapter of Jeremiah says that the way of man is not in himself. It is not in man that walketh to direct his own steps. To him that thinketh he standeth, take heed lest he fall. This is where we naturally gravitate to if we're not very careful. And we can become deceived. We can start to believe a lie. If we're just listening to other people like ourselves, and we begin, like the Laodiceans likely did, they thought everything was good, they thought they were rich, they thought that they were increased with goods and they didn't have need of anything. If you compare yourself to the world, you can get to the place where you too feel like, I'm not in need of anything. I'm good. All is well. Absent the Holy Spirit in your life. Absent applying yourself to understand the Word of God. We can become deceived. And that's why so many times people will look you right in the eyes and from their hearts will say, I don't see anything wrong with this. I just don't see why this is wrong. And they don't. And the reason they don't is because sometimes they're comparing themselves to the world. They're listening to influences that are outside of the influence of the Holy Spirit. Or they haven't given themselves to dig in to the Word of God as they should. And so then we become deceived. We can deceive ourselves. And so Paul said, let no man deceive who? Did it say other people? That's probably in the Word too. God doesn't want us going around deceiving other people. But in this verse, his point was, don't let yourself be deceived. Let no man deceive himself. I don't want to deceive. I don't want to allow myself to be deceived. So, who and what is a primary enemy that comes against the building of our temple? One would be ourselves. Let's not allow ourselves to be deceived by ourselves. And the other is the world and its influence. Those are avenues that Satan works through. He can make us feel like that we are good and living how we should, and God is pleased with us, particularly if you start comparing yourselves among yourselves. The Scripture says that that's not wise. I want to be on the watch out for that. We have an enemy that is fighting against us without let up. I want to be like Gideon's 300. You remember Gideon and his 300? The reason that they were the chosen people to go to battle for the Lord in a way that God was going to get the glory, it was because when they went about the duties of life, as things as simple as drinking water, they gave up something. It wasn't as satisfying to drink how they were drinking. They had to be on guard. They had to be watchful. And when the Lord saw that He was their first priority, those are the ones that He chose. May God help us today that we not be distracted. I'd like to turn now to the sixth chapter of 1 Corinthians, and we'll close there. Don't want to probably get too far because we won't have time, but I want to set the stage maybe for next Sunday. 1 Corinthians 6 and 19 says again, what know ye not, that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own. For ye are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God. So here we have again the Scriptures teaching us that our body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in us. And this last thing that he said here is not popular in the world. He said, and ye are not your own, for ye have been bought with a price. But we try so hard to be our own, don't we? We want to do it our way.
We want to satisfy the flesh. If there's anybody in this life that we feel like that we should be able to lay claim to do it how we want to do it, it's for ourselves. But I want to stress today that life is not all about you. Life is not all about the earth and this world. There is something that is so much greater than you and this life and this world. And it is doing the will of the Father. And so the scripture here tells us that ye are not your own, for you have been bought with a price. There's a scripture that says that you cannot serve two masters. Either you're going to hate the one and love the other, or you're going to hold to the one and despise the other, but you can't serve God and mammon. Who are we going to serve today? Who are we going to give our lives to? I want to fill the place that God wants me to fill in His body. And do you know that that is where true joy comes from? That's where we find peace. That's where we find fulfillment. The wisdom of the world would say that if you accept the premise that you're not your own and that you belong to God, well, then you are going to face a very sacrificial life that is nothing but heartache and giving up and sacrifice and not being able to enjoy anything in life, and you've accepted second best in life. That's the wisdom of the world. But the Lord is the one that created us. He is the one that knows how to satisfy the very things that He created. And so He bids us, let me be God of your life. Be willing to know my word. Be willing to follow my word. Be willing to sacrifice and do whatever it takes to be a child of God. And if you will be willing to be firmly planted, not in yourself, not in the world, not in all of the things that bid us come to the temporal things of life, but if we will be willing to look up and say, not my will, but thine be done, the Lord will satisfy the need of our hearts. I want to be challenged today to be as those that rose up from Babylon and were willing to leave where they were to go rebuild the temple of the Lord, knowing His word, following His word, and being willing to sacrifice whatever it took to build the temple. May God help each one of us this morning is my prayer. Amen.